It's a joy to be with you this evening. I'd like to thank Pastor Gillett for the opportunity to come and preach on this Wednesday night. I'll tell you, as I walked in this evening, I was so grateful that the air condition system is working here at the church. I don't know about you, but this has been a hot last week or week and a half, and walked in tonight, and I just said, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes we appreciate things and don't even remember to thank God for what he's done, and he's been so good. I mean, can you imagine, wasn't it last summer that we had some problems with the air conditioner? Was that summer before last? It was one of these recent summers, and we came in one night, it was like 80 degrees in here, and Pastor said, take your ties off, guys. But anyway, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, to Luke 15, Luke 15. Luke 15, and I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 22, and for those of you that are familiar with this passage, you might say, well, Brother Bill, you didn't read the whole thing, and that's because we're only going to look at part of it, and so we're going to read from Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 down to verse number 24. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. As soon as I start reading this, you will probably already know the story. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Our Heavenly Father, we read this story and we are moved by the image of this young man who has gone off into a terrible position and a terrible place. And in that place, Lord, you broke his heart. You showed him the truth. You allowed him to come to the point of repentance and return home. And then, Lord, the glorious reunion of this young man and his father. And, Lord, how many times certainly we ourselves have been in a similar position and run back to you and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. But, Lord, tonight I pray that you would please allow me to be your messenger. I pray that you would help me to communicate truth. And Lord, I pray that you would allow this message to be a blessing to everyone who's here this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're over the age of 50, that's several of us now, you know. I mean, I remember when I heard recently that there was an activity for some of the senior adults, 55 and older, and I'm thinking, wait, senior adults, 55, that's me. I'm not a senior adult, but anyway, for Brother Sides maybe, but I mean, come on. There are times where you get to a certain age and you start waking up in the middle of the night because somebody's on your heart, somebody you're praying for. Somebody that keeps you awake. somebody that makes you go and find a place to kneel and pray and say, "Dear God, please help." Over the last few weeks, I've been reading through the first part of the Old Testament, and there's a theme that keeps popping up as I've been reading, and I think the Holy Spirit kind of drew my attention to this, and it's examples in the Bible of people who had children who, when they came to their adult years, walked away from God. They no longer were faithful. Started out well, but ended up terribly, terribly. And the Lord began to put upon my heart a desire to search out in the Scriptures how to respond to the sin of an adult child. How to respond to the sin of an adult child. You know, this could be your own child. Might be a niece or a nephew. It might be the child of a neighbor or someone that you've known their entire life. And they start out so well and you think, man, this is going to be great. And then a point comes in their life and it seems like it just falls apart. And you say, what happened? I was speaking last week with a dear friend. One of his sons just got out of jail and another one is in jail. These two boys grew up in church. They know the truth. They've heard the Bible their entire life. They were the kids that won the prizes at VBS, if you know what I mean. What happened? There's no way to explain it sometimes. You can lay awake all night and wonder where you went wrong as a parent or as an uncle or as an aunt or as a grandparent and say, you know, what else could I have done to have changed this situation? And it may be that there was nothing at all that you could have done. But the reality is that there are going to be some young people that will break the heart of those around them because they choose to fall into sin. Think of Adam's firstborn son, Cain, killing Abel. Okay, if you thought you had problems with some of the kids that you know, think about that for just a moment. I mean, how many of you are grateful that your kids didn't kill each other at some point, okay? Maybe they fought, maybe they kicked, maybe they bit, but hopefully they didn't kill. But that's what happened to Adam. Think about Methuselah's son, Lamech. He murdered. Think about Isaac's son, Esau. He was an adulterer. What about Israel's son, Judah? He was an adulterer. David's son, Amnon, raped his sister. David's son, Absalom, killed Amnon for raping his sister. Boy, that's rough. And then we read about the prodigal son here in the New Testament. And the fact is that there are many, many, many more stories in the Bible of situations just like this. There are some wrong responses that sometimes are given to this kind of a situation. Sometimes parents just give up on their kids. You may have seen it before. I mean, just give up. I can't handle you anymore. I don't want to see you. I just, nothing. Give up on them. That's not the right response. Sometimes parents give in to the sin of their own child. The child goes into sin and the parent follows right along. That's not a good response. That's not a good response. Enabling them. Well, if I'll just, you know, enable their lifestyle, maybe at some point they'll turn around. It's not going to happen. If you enable it, it will continue to get worse. Coddle them. Treat them like they're still a little kid. That doesn't help. They're an adult. They need to be treated like an adult. So don't coddle them. Don't make excuses for them. All of these are bad responses. Don't hate them. Sometimes parents literally turn against their own kids so much that their hearts are filled with hatred toward their children. That cannot be. That cannot be. Don't blame others for what your child might do. Oh, if they had not had that one friend, it's all that person's fault. No, every person makes decisions for themselves. Okay? It's hard for us to realize sometimes, but everybody makes their own decisions at the end of the day. Stop communicating with them. Please don't do that. Please don't stop communicating with them. They still need to hear from you. You say, Brother Bill, I hadn't talked to my son, I hadn't talked to my daughter, and in years and years, we just don't have anything in common anymore. Call them. Please call them. Hey, I love you. Been thinking a lot about you. Been praying for you. Even if they hang up on you, just try to talk to them. So how should we respond to the sin of an adult child? Number one, pray for them. Pray for them. Now, some people might say that there is no command in all of the Bible for me to pray for somebody else's sin. There's no command that actually says, Bill, you're supposed to pray that God will forgive so-and-so. But let me remind you of a few things that are in the Bible, some principles. In Job chapter number 1 and verse number 5, Job prayed and sacrificed daily in case one of his 10 kids had done something against God. In case. Not that he knew anything, just in case. Jesus asked the Father to forgive those who were crucifying him in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's biblical. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 60, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We should pray for those that have fallen away from God. We should pray for them. We should bring them before the Lord. Number two, be an example for them. Be an example for them. Joshua determined in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15 that he and his house would serve the Lord. Your nephew comes to visit you and maybe they're way off the deep end. When it comes time for you to have your normal time of devotions, don't think you need to go hide out, just you and your wife, and go have your devotions. Say, hey, at our home every night, it's what we do. We have a time to pray and read God's word. We'd love for you to be a part of this. Would you please join us? 9 times out of 10, they'll go ahead and join you. Be an example unto them. The Philippian jailer was the first in Acts chapter 16, verse number 34. It tells us that the rest of his family followed his leading in accepting salvation. So we need to be an example. We need to be an example. You're probably right now thinking of somebody that's either in your family or it's a family friend, and you say, boy, you know, that guy is just so lost. Can I just encourage you to be an example for them? Let them know that there are certain people that try to live right. Even when they say things like, ah, that church is full of hypocrites, let them know that you are trying to live the way that you should live. Be an example to them. Number three, this word is going to seem a little strange, but I'll explain it in just a moment. Number three, restrain them. Restrain them. Now, in order to understand this, I'm going to need you to turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, please, chapter number 3. 1 Samuel, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 13. 1 Samuel 3, verse number 13. Now, this is the Lord. He's speaking to Samuel, and he's talking about Eli and Eli's sons. Now, Eli was a priest, and his sons were very wicked. But I want you to notice what it says in 1 Samuel 3:13. It says, for I have told him, and that's talking about Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile. Now watch this last part of the verse. And he restrained them not. He didn't restrain them. So while the sons were the ones committing the initial sin, The fact that Eli didn't try to restrain them then became a sin for Eli. So how does that affect me? If I see someone who's in sin and I don't do something to try to stop them, I'm not restraining them, I'm also to blame. You say, oh, I don't like that, Brother Bill. What does this word restrain mean? Well, it's an interesting word. It's actually only used one time, this Hebrew word, used one time in the entire Old Testament. The Aramaic root from which it comes is the word scold. Do any of you ever remember being scolded by your grandmother or grandfather or parents? Do you understand the word scold? It means you get on to them. You say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay? The word also can be translated as to warn or to admonish. To try to, you know, put up a little bit of a barrier. My grandparents lived in Tlapa, Mexico. When they first went there, there was not one single street that was paved in the entire town. Nothing was paved. When the local government decided to pave the first street, we were shocked because the street that they decided to pave was the one right in front of my grandparents' home. Now, my grandparents rented at the time. They didn't own the land. They didn't have a high-up friend to kind of encourage them to pave their street first. It wasn't because of that. It happened that way. And they paved the first street in all of Tlapa. And in fine Mexican tradition, immediately after making that first street, they put a speed bump right slap dab in the middle of the street. Another way of saying this is put speed bumps in their life. Put some speed bumps in their life. Restrain them. Number four, reason with them. Reason with them. What does this mean, Brother Bill? Well, I want you to turn over it once again because this verse is so important. 1 Kings chapter number 1. 1 Kings chapter number 1 and verses 5 and 6. One of the things that I found out as I began to study this is that the Bible has a whole lot more to say about how we're supposed to respond to the sin of an adult child than what I had actually imagined. But notice what it says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. His father never said, why hast thou done so? And so what does Adonijah do? He rebels against his father. He rebelled against David. He actually tried to take over the kingdom from David. And David had never at any time said, son, what are you doing? And that's what we need to make sure that we do. We need to reason with those children that maybe grew up in church and they know the truth and they've read the Bible and they memorized verses and now they're way off doing something they know they shouldn't do. And it just might take you or me saying something like, what are you thinking? Reason with them. Number five, love them. This is so important. Loving someone doesn't mean you agree with everything they do. We've come to a point where a lot of people think if you love somebody, then that means you're in favor of everything they do. No, that's not true. You can love someone and still be very much against some of the things that they do. I want you to remember here in Luke chapter 15, verse number 20, this important biblical truth. Please pay attention to this. Go with me, please, to Luke chapter 15 again. Luke 15, verse number 20. I want you to notice this because this makes a difference. Luke 15, 20. And he arose, now that's talking about the son, and came to his father. But while he, that is the son, was yet a great while off, way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The dad ran to him, had compassion on him, hugged him, and kissed him all before the Son ever said one word of being sorry. The Son had not even said one thing about, Father, I've done wrong. That's not until the next verse. But in verse number 20, the dad's already hugging him and holding him and crying and kissing him because he loved that boy. He didn't agree with everything his son had done. What kind of father would agree with someone who came to you and said, hey, Dad, I think you're better to me dead than alive. Can I go ahead and get my inheritance right now? And then I'm going to go waste it. No parent would be happy with that. But when the boy came back, the dad was ready. Can I say this? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say once we confessed our sin, then Christ died for us. Or once we got saved, then God started loving us. No. He loved us. He sacrificed for us way before we ever got saved. And so we should follow that example. Love them. Number 6, spend time with them. Spend time with them. You say, but Brother Bill, it's kind of hard. I mean, you don't know the situation. Spend time with them. Do you remember that Jesus, according to Luke chapter 7, and I'm not going to show you all the verses, it's full from beginning to end. Luke chapter number 7, Jesus spent time with publicans, Pharisees, and sinners. Do you think he did that because that was his favorite crowd to be around? Was that the people that he really enjoyed being the most with, hearing them talk, all the wonderful words that they would invent that he had never heard before? Is that the kind of people, you know, like when you go to a bar, and I hope you don't, but if you do, and you walk in and you hear everybody talking, you say, these are my people right here, you know? I mean, come on. Was Jesus condemned for doing that? Was he looked down on for doing that? Yes. But I want you to notice that the result of having spent time with them, his purpose was not to become like them, but rather to influence them to become like him. And just remember that in the middle of all of this, some of them started realizing that Jesus was different. Think about Levi. He was a publican. Levi decided to hold a feast in his own home and invited all the publicans he knew because he wanted to make sure that all of his old buddies got to know who Jesus was. You know, sometimes, if we're honest, we spend very little time with people that don't look like us and dress like us and go to church with us. And sometimes we just need to find somebody that we can love and influence and try to draw them to Christ. Number 7. Be ready to forgive them. Be ready to forgive them. The Father forgave the Son immediately. Immediately. We find in the book of Luke, chapter number 7, verses 48 and 50, here comes this woman to Jesus. She is a very bad lady. She has had a very bad background. Her life has been horrid. She comes to Jesus and she begins to wipe his feet, and Jesus forgives her. She had faith in him and he was ready to forgive. Could I say it this way concerning this fact of being ready to forgive? Start practicing your forgiveness speech. When they come back and they say, hey, Uncle Bill, I made a big mistake. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, hey, Grandpa. Start practicing your forgiveness speech. Start practicing what you're going to say to them. Start thinking about how you're going to respond. You see, God still answers prayer. And so if they come back and they ask you to be forgiven, you got to forgive. You say, but you don't know how deeply they hurt me. You have to forgive. Number 8, this is my last point. Show kindness to the wayward children of others. Show kindness to the wayward children of others. treat their kids the way you want your kids to be treated. You see them come to church on a Sunday morning, you know they hadn't been in church in a long time. And they're not dressed the way their family normally dresses to go to church. They don't look the way that they used to look before. But if you know that kid, go over there and give him a hug. Tell him you're glad to see him. Tell him you're so happy that he's there that day. And do it in sincerity. And don't take too much time talking to them. Don't take all their time. Don't hog all their time. Let other people talk to them. But treat those kids the way you'd want your kid to be treated if the situation was reversed. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, well, Brother Bill, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never had a kid that went astray. Praise God. Okay? But if you did have a kid that wasn't walking exactly where they needed to be, the Bible has a lot to say about what we can do. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, bear ye one another burdens. When you see that family walk in with their kid, just say, Lord, thank you. They made it to church this morning. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. They're here. Thank the Lord for it. God still answers prayer. God still changes lives. God still restores relationships. If you responded incorrectly at some point in the past, ask God to forgive you and help you to start off again on the right foot. If you have a child who's living in sin, pray for them. Do all you can to turn them back to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the hope that we have that you can still change lives. And Lord, as we gather tonight to pray and to ask you to do what we cannot do, Lord, would you continue to work in the lives of those kids that desperately need you? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many here tonight would say, Brother Bill, as you were preaching, God put somebody on my heart. There's somebody I'm praying for. There's somebody I'd like to see darken the door of a church again. There's somebody I'd like to see come back to Christ. You'd say, please pray for me that God would help that to come to pass. It would take a miracle. But oh, that God would allow that to happen. If that's true, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over this auditorium, God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Bill, I was that sheep that went astray. I was the one that went away from God and God changed my life and God changed my heart. And I'm just so grateful that somebody didn't give up on me. If that's true, would you raise your hand as a testimony? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Bill, I'm not where I need to be, but with God's help, I'd like to get there. You'd say, please pray for me. I'm not where I need to be, but with God's help, I'd like to get there. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Could we all stand tonight? I want to encourage you and ask you to do something. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe there's somebody you need to pray for. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Would you leave your place and find your way here to the altar? We're not going to sing. We're just going to allow the pianist to play. But if there's someone that God's put upon your heart, would you join us here at the altar for a time of prayer? Remember that God answers prayer still. There's no lost cause in God's eyes. He's an omnipotent, almighty God. He's so good.